If you'll remember, we started our summer series several weeks back with a young man named Taylor who came, and when he left, I thought, man, it's not going to get any better than this. He did a fantastic job. And every week, I think I have left saying, it's not going to get any better than this. Well, I think tonight is going to be one more example of that. We're privileged to have with us tonight Bill Tracy from Lubbock. He's one of the ministers at Sunset, and he's got a big old list of stuff he does there. I'm not going to go into all of that. Bill's a young man. I know that because we're the same age. Our paths crossed many moons ago at Lubbock Christian, and I'm excited to have him here tonight and excited to hear his word.
Okay, there's no pressure whatsoever, right? It just can't get any better. And you guys are going to walk out of there, it could get better. It really could get better. Thank you, Stuart, for putting no pressure on me whatsoever. The only thing I am excited about is the fact is that you actually told me that I'm young. I haven't heard that in years, all right? Man, I am so excited to be with you tonight, and I want to send my greetings from your brothers and sisters at the Sunset Church in Lubbock, Texas. And so it's so good to be with you, and I am super excited about the series you're going through about the one another passages. And I'm wondering sometimes if we don't understand the power behind the one another passages. There's a power behind this, and I'm excited that you're studying about this because. And I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder, but I want to let you know that Jesus said one of the best evangelistic tools that we have as a church is our relationship with each other. And I think sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget that one of the best evangelistic things we could do is to be devoted or love one another. And so tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the concept of being devoted to one another. And when I begin to talk about being devoted to one another, I am specifically talking about the dynamics when we talk about the Christian family. Now, I know all of them have been related to that, but when we get to devoted one another, it is in particular, it talks about the Christian family. Now, in all honesty, I grew up around the church. I was one of those kids. You know, those kids that cause all the trouble in church? I was one of those. I grew up around the church, and I've been so blessed to be raised around the church and be a part of the church now. And I want to let you know that even there's times when your church family can be a little bit challenging. Is that correct? All right? And if you're shaking your head no, then you're in la-la land, or you haven't been around long enough. You got to go like this. And it's sort of being challenging. I want to let you know that you could go to a place where it is not challenging. And you're going, where is that place besides heaven? I want to let you know it is in Japan. All right? Now, here's what I found out. This is really amazing. Check this out. You could actually rent a family in Japan. All right? You could rent a family. And I am sure for the right price, you could even rent a Christian family for a while. And here's how this started. It's really a sad story, but it's an amazing. Is the fact that the people are so busy there that they don't have time for their relatives. And so the relatives can actually rent a family. Now, it costs money. For about a three-hour visit plus transportation is about $1,300. Now, imagine for just a second, though, if you could rent a church family. All right? Imagine if you could do that. Imagine if you walked in on a Sunday and you rented everybody here. And they sang the songs you wanted to sing. They said the things you wanted to say. And they said it the way you wanted to hear it be said. And I think sometimes we sort of land there. But I think as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. While renting a Christian family might be convenient and it even desired, it won't help us to achieve what Paul wanted us to be achieved, out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And I know Christian families, just like our regular families, are challenging, but I want to let you know, renting a family is not the way we need to go. Really, the way we need to go is we need to be devoted to each other in love. We need to be devoted to each other. And tonight, what I want to do is I want to explore this topic about being devoted to one another. Again, strong roots in the Christian family. A part of my preparation that I like to do is this. I like to look at a lot of different versions. In fact, I will probably read a passage of Scripture in 30 different versions just to get a feel for this verse, just to get a feel for how other people are translating it in different types of versions. And what I have up before you right now is I have four different translations of what we read. I'm using the new NIV tonight. What I find in the NIV, it's also translated this way. Listen to these verses. It helps us get the feel that we need to have for being devoted to one another. Hey, let's have a real warm affection for one another as between brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Wow. How about this one? Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Or how about this one? Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And this last one here is, in the sphere of brotherly love, have a family affection for one another, vying with one another in showing honor. If you were to look at most of the, like the NIV and other translations like this, it starts out with, be devoted to one another. And what it starts out with is the action we're to do to our brothers. But if you were to look in the original language, it's placed differently. The be devoted is at the end, and the brotherly love is at the beginning. If we were to look at it in the original language, it would read something like this. In the love of the brethren, to one another kindly affectioned. Let me say it again. In the love of the brother, be kindly affectioned. In honor, going before one another. And that's the literal translation of that verse. Now, I got to let you know, I am not a Greek expert, even though I found out Stuart and I took 2 years of Greek at Lubbock Christian. I am not a Greek expert. I know there's probably some great Greek explanation why the brotherly love is first and not the devoted part in the original language. And I'm sure it's this very complicated type of explanation, but I got to let you know something. I like it the way it is with the brotherly affection. And here's what I'm trying to say is this. I'm trying to say is that I've got to know what I and why I need to be devoted to something. Right? I mean, we just don't talk about devotion without knowing what we're going to be devoted to. And I like the way this is written in an original language where it says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to know that you need to be devoted to brotherly love. It starts that way. And I like it because if I'm going to give my heart and if I'm going to give my life, I'm going to give my feelings, I'm going to give my service, I'm going to give my devotion, I got to know why I need to do that. And the question I want to ask is it really worth it? Is it worth it to be devoted to this? And the way it's written in the original language, it allows me to understand that it is really worth being devoted to, and that is brotherly love or the family of God. So here's the point is, why is this such a worthy calling? Why should I have feelings for you? Why should I be devoted to you? Why should I go out of my way for you? Why should I do that? And it rolls in at the very beginning of this verse. It says this is because we're brothers. We're of the family of God. And there's three things that I want to point out of why it's worthy, why the brothers and sisters are worthy, why the Christian family is worthy to give our heart, our lives, our emotion, our devotion, everything about it. Why are we worthy of that? And the first one is this. The word brother comes from this concept and idea. Now, this is going to blow you out here, all right? It literally means this. We have been wombed from God. We come, now listen to this. When you hear that being born of God, you know what it literally means is? We come from the womb of God. What? God has a womb? Yes. Now, we don't often think of God that way, but if you were to look through Scripture, you would find out that God, who is spirit, right, takes on male and female characteristics. For instance, he will say of Israel, "Israel, come to and suck on my breast." Isn't that what? But when we start talking about Christian family, literally it means this. We are born from the womb of God. And if you've been immersed into Jesus Christ by faith, calling on His name, receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of your sins by washing your sins by the blood, let me just tell you, at that moment in time, you were birthed by God. We come from the same womb. And that's why I'm devoted to you. That's why I'm devoted to you, because guess what? We were born of the same God. Number two, why it's worthy, why we should be devoted to one another is because we were bought with the same sacrifice, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, right? 1 John 2:2 talks about that Jesus' sacrifice was just not for us, but it was for the entire world. But we have partaken of the blood of Jesus Christ, correct? And not only have we been wombed by God, but we have been bought by the same sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's why devotion to each other is so important. And finally is this. We live in the same house. We live in the same house. And you're going, "Bill, you don't live in my house." I go, "Yes, I do. I live in your house. And you live in my house." And you know what the house is? It's the church. We all live in the same house. Isn't that a great thought? We're wombed by God. We're bought with this beautiful price of Jesus Christ. But we all live in the same house. And that's why it is so important for us to be devoted to each other in brotherly love. It is worth the sacrifice. It is worth the effort. It is worth the energy. It is worth it. Why? We're born of God. We're bought by the blood of Jesus, and we all live in the same house. And here's the thing is, you got to get along if you live in the same house, right? You just got to, all right? And that's the reason why. The why propels us to do the what. Let me explain that. Let me repeat that, and then I'm going to explain it. The why we do something propels us to do the what, and the what is devotion. So I want to talk just a little bit about it is that what does it mean to be devoted? Now, devoted is one of those terms where we say it and we go, "Yeah, devoted. Oh yeah, devoted. We're to be devoted to one another." And I'll go, "And what does that mean?" "Well, you know, we got to be devoted." "Yeah, and what does devoted mean?" "Well, you know, it's devoted." And we keep saying that in this endless cycle, right? "Well, we just got to be devoted to one another." And we have no idea what that means. To be devoted to one another. And if we were to go around tonight and I were to ask you, what does it mean to be devoted to God? We would come up with, what, is there 100 so people here? We'd come up with 100 different definitions. So the question is when Paul wrote Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, he said, I've got to find some images. I got to find some pictures that will help us to understand the what. We understand the why, correct? The why is because we're all of that, but the what? The what is, what does it mean to be devoted? And what Paul's going to do is, he's going to give us two unbelievable pictures. The first picture is that he is going to talk about this picture of a mother and her child. He says to us at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, I want to give you a picture of what devoted is. And I'm going to use one of the most intimate, powerful images there are in the world. And I'm going to tell you what it looks like. It looks like when a mom holds her baby. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, I have three kids. I have two grandchildren. I have pictures later on if you want to see what happens with that. But I mean, it's the weirdest thing, isn't it? It's this miraculous thing where you don't see the child. You see the bump, and you know, and you see the feet coming up, you know, and all that stuff. But you don't see the child. And all of a sudden, when the child comes out, there is this intimacy that you can't even describe, can you? There's this heart that you can't even describe. And I'd be foolish tonight to try and describe that for you, right? But when Paul says, I want to talk to you about what it means to be devoted, he goes, I want to look at a mother and a child. The second imagery he uses is this. I want to look at a family. I want you to think of family. I want you to think of not just any family. I want you to think about being a loving family. It's this idea of this blood tie together. It's words like this. Paul will go something like this. When you think about being devoted to one another, it's words like this. It's intimacy. It's understanding. It's acceptance, it's warmth, and it's loyalty. And if that wasn't enough, he goes even deeper into some other words, and he says something like this. Devotion is tenderness. It's passion, and it's feelings that are related to devotion to one another. The why is we're from the family of God, we're born of God, we're bought by the blood, we're the same house. But the what is this? The what is compared to a loving mother and child relationship. The what is in a loving family relationship where there's all these heart words that are associated with it. And here's what I got to let you know tonight is this. Those words really challenge me. Intimacy, understanding, acceptance, tenderness, affection. And sometimes those things really challenge me because here's what I have a tendency to do, and I struggle with this, is that I'm going to rein in my heart when it comes to you. And we'll use phrases like this. Jesus told me to love you, but I sure don't like you. I mean, I get that. I'm just not so sure Paul would go with that. Have you ever found yourself standing back from your brothers and sisters in Christ? And maybe sometimes even rightly so, maybe they've hurt you, maybe they've said something about you, maybe they've done something. But you sort of stand back and you go, well, I ain't going to let that happen to me again. I'm going to rein in my heart and I'm going to deal with you from this type of level and I'm going to have this antiseptic type of view towards you. And I struggle with that sometimes, especially with those who have hurt me. But if I'm going to be devoted to you, I've got to sort of drop all that. And you're going, well, that's easier said than done. Exactly. And the cross stands as a witness and a testimony that we just sort of can't live that way, this antiseptic, hands-off approach with each other, right? The why is all that, but the what is this? Is that we're going to have to get our heart involved in our relationship with each other. It's not always going to be clean. And I'm going to promise you tonight, it's not always not going to hurt. But if we're going to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, we got to start doing that. And every once in a while, I'll feel those feelings. My walls start coming up. I'll start going like this a little bit distance. And all of a sudden, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And I have to go in and I have to take down all the barriers. And I have to take down all the walls and openly love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's challenging to me. It's challenging to me. But I want to end, or not end, but I want to talk a little bit here about living out this devoted life. Because there's something really different that happens here. I forget, I don't point here. I got to point there. You know, I'm always like looking at this screen here. Notice the last part of this verse. All right. It says, joyful and patience, 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, period. Now watch this. Honoring one another above yourself. Now, I called Daryl and I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, is anybody doing this honoring one another? Because I didn't want to stomp on anybody's ground, and that would be really bad, especially if it was last week and you go, we already know about this. You don't need to talk about this anymore. And so I said, and he goes, no, nobody's doing that. And I said, oh, I'm so grateful for that. Because a lot of times when you're studying the one another passages, there is be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and then we stop, we put a period, we put a wall, and then we study honoring one another as a completely separate issue. I got to let you know, I think they are tied together in this really beautiful way. I think Paul ties these things really beautifully together. And I think what's happening here is this. He goes, I want you to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I want you to have family affection for each other. And I got to let you know the best way to do that. The best way to do that is to honor somebody above yourself. There it is. We're done. Thank you very much. It was really good to be here with you. No, that's not it, all right? But I think that's the key to being devoted to one another. The key to being devoted to one another is that we honor somebody above ourselves. And you know I like to do this is, I like to look at this in other translations. Here's the honor one another in different translations. Give each other more honor than you do yourself. Outdo one another on showing favor. How about this one? Be the best at showing honor to one another. And so we begin to look at this honor one another. We're really looking at two primary concepts of how this happens. So follow me here. Here's devoted to one another. We're to be devoted to one another because of all this wonderful reasons, and we're to be devoted to one another because, and we're to compare that to the family relationships. Well, Bill, how do you do that? Well, here's what you do. You honor one another. And here's the two components of honoring one another. The first one is this. Have a Christ-based, Christ-centered humility. If you go to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm sure you're familiar with Philippians chapter 2, if we're going to honor one another above ourselves, then what we have to do is this. We have to grab hold of what Jesus was and what he did. And Philippians chapter 2 talks about this, right? He dumped all the prerogatives, everything about being the Son of God, and he humbled himself even to the point of being a slave. And he came to this earth and he died for you and I. And that's humility. That's humility. And if we're going to honor one another so that we could be devoted to one another, we're going to have to be humble people. We're going to have to be humble people. And again, humility is one of those words where we go, well, what does it mean to be humble? Well, you know, Bill, it means to be humble. Yeah, but what does humble humility mean? Well, you know what I mean, Bill. It's you be humble. We get humble. So let me give you an example. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9. Genesis 13, 9. Here's what humility looks like. Lot and Abraham, they were not getting along. Sometimes family's tough, right? And so it's time for them to divide. In Genesis chapter 13, they stand and they look down at the valley. And on one side is this green valley. We eventually find out that's where Sodom and Gomorrah is, and all the green valleys on one side, and on the rest is just desert. It's just desert. It's ugly, all right? It's like rolling into Odessa, Texas. It's just ugly, all right? Okay? Sorry, that's where I graduated from high school, you know. I came from Colorado to Odessa, Texas, and I thought that God had left me, all right? And so, you know, they're standing here, all right? So what's humility? And Abraham goes, Lot, you choose. Whatever you choose, I'll go the other way. Abraham, by who he was, should have had the right to choose, correct? Correct? He had the right to choose. But he looks at Lot and he goes, you do what you want and I'll do the other. Lot looks at that green valley. He looks at Odessa, Texas. And Lot goes, I want water. I want this over here. And Abraham goes, fine. That's fine. That's fine. I'll take this over here. That's humility. That's humility. That's fine. We look at each other. Instead of going, I want this and I want it now, it's, that's fine. That's fine. That's all right. The other part of this verse is this really great concept. It is this idea about competing. You're going, what? Competing. It goes something like this. If you look at this verse, the last part of this verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, honor yourselves above one another, above yourself. That above yourself is the idea of this. Outdo each other in doing good. It is a competition spirit. It is this idea of be the best at honoring others. Be the best at it. I like this. It's the attitude and the spirit of anticipating. Now listen to this. It's the attitude and the spirit of not only anticipating, but excelling in meeting the needs of your brothers and sisters. It says taking on the initiative to show honor and respect. And it's this competitive term. In his book, The One Another Way, or by Gene Getz, it's this. Listen to this. This is cool. Make other believers look and sound good. Make other believers look and sound good. Hey, listen, I'm all into numbers. I mean, I get it. I mean, I like numbers are numbers, and numbers are indicators, and numbers are whatever. But I'm wondering sometimes if we don't record the right numbers. Here's what I mean. We'll record our attendance. We will record our contribution, which is cool. I get it. I've been in ministry 40 years, and guess what? I'm still young. Thank you, Stuart. But also is this. I'm wondering if we're recording the right numbers. Wouldn't it be great if we recorded the number of the person who's meeting the most needs in the body of Christ? What if we kept that count? I just would love to hear as you walk into your entryway there and on the board is everybody's name, everybody's name, and there was a number by it of the need you met that last week. And in some miraculous way, God sort of kept track of that. And I could just hear conversations. Is there anybody named Susie here tonight? No, Susie's good, because I didn't want to use that name and like get people in trouble. But it's something like this, can you imagine us walking into the foyer in the lobby and they go, oh, that's Sister Susie, she's number one in meeting people's needs. Ooh, if I didn't have to be devoted to her, I just hate her. Could you imagine that? What if we kept that number? What if we kept the number and we recorded the number of the person who went out of their way to anticipate and meet the needs of the people of the family of God? That would be a number to keep, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm all into numbers of contribution and all ends of Bible classes and all that, but the real number, the God number, is the number of the person who is competing with everybody around him to go, I'm going to meet as many people's needs in this body of Christ as I possibly can before Jesus comes and takes me home. That would be the number to keep, wouldn't it? And I get what Paul's saying. I don't think he's wanting us to go there, but wouldn't that be a great number? But that is the tense, that is the nature of that honoring one another above yourselves. That above yourselves is this. Compete with each other to who's going to be the best at doing that. Now, you understand you got to do humility first, right? Okay, it's not compete, because I'm like a competitive person. I want to beat you at everything, okay? But it's the humility combined with that that makes this powerful. So how am I going to be devoted to you? I understand why. I understand that we are wombed from God. I understand that the blood of Jesus bought me and it bought you, right? And that we live in the same house. And that we're to have this tender, loving heart, passion for each other. And we do that by honoring others above ourselves. It means that we humble ourselves and we do whatever we can. We do whatever we can to meet the needs of the people around us. You understand that if we're all doing that, nobody's really counting. They're just wanting to meet needs. I want to leave with you a series of phrases. I want you to listen very carefully to these things, because I want to even put a little bit more meat on this honoring one another and this, the being devoted to one another. I want to give us some more things to consider in that. And I want you to listen to these statements. And here's what I'm asking you to do tonight. The invitation for this is coming as I'm reading these things to see if that's who you are. Are you this person? And more importantly is this, do people know you as that person? And I want you to listen to these statements. And if this is not you, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus and being the family of God. Repent, turn, and do right tonight. Right? Isn't that the good news about Jesus? You could always turn. But listen to these statements. And here, again, is the question. If you were to ask somebody in this church, would they think of you as I read these statements? You ready? Everybody shake your head, even though you're not ready. Shake your head. I'm ready. Listen to these statements. That I, as a member of this church, of Christ Church, will assume the best rather than the worst about somebody else's intentions. You letting this roll over? Number two, I will be quick to look for the good in others and be willing to praise them. Not the negative, not the bad, but the good. That I'm going to be quick to look for the good. Number three, this is challenging, isn't it? This is challenging because we sort of get set in patterns, don't we? Number three, I am not going to worry about who gets the praise or credit. All I'm going to do is just serve. I am not going to worry about who gets the praise or who gets the credit. All I'm going to do is just serve. Number four, I am going to take time to check out all the facts before making any judgment about a situation. Number five, I will refuse to belittle anybody. You're going, what does this have to do? Everything. Everything. Number six, I will meet the needs of others before looking at my needs and what I want. Ouch. Number seven, let your conversation be focused on others rather than yourself. Have you ever met anybody who the conversation is all about them? They're always steering it towards them. The devoted person, the honoring person, is always looking to have the conversations about somebody else. Here's the next one, eight. Being concerned with the feelings of others rather than the feelings of yourself. You're more concerned about other people's feelings than you are your own feelings. Number nine, I will refuse to gossip. Well, let me tell you about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Now, I'm not gossiping. Yeah, you are. That's just making you feel better about what you're doing. If I'm going to be devoted and I'm going to honor, I refuse to gossip. Hey, have I ever told you how the best way to stop gossiping? Oh, this is so cool. This is free, too. Watch this. Somebody starts to gossip, you go, oh, time out, just a second, just hold on, just a minute. You're going to talk about Stuart, just hold on a minute. Stuart, come over here. They have something that they're going to say about you. It'll stop gossiping dead. And I'm going to let you know, if you'll do that, no one will come to you little tidbits ever again. And don't go talk to that person, man. They're going to go get the person. You don't want any of that. Number nine, refuse to gossip. How about this one? Let others, number 10, let others be the center of attention. And I think this really helps sometimes, and I'm going to splash in here a little bit, and you guys have to clean up the mess, is this. I think it comes times sometimes with generations, where sometimes the older generation says, we've got to do it this way, and it has to be this way, and the younger generation says, hey, why are we doing it this way? What if we were all to approach it with the spirit of being devoted to one another and honoring one another and then try and figure that out? Right? Do you see what I'm saying there? Does that make sense? Here's the pattern. It is not about me. It's about others. Let me say that one more time. It is not about me. It's about others. It is not about you. It's about others. And this is what it means to be devoted to one another. Now, we're going to sing an invitation song in just a second, but the question is, how did you do? How did you do with the 10 questions? And how do the people of God hear? Would they say that of you? What's your reputation? And we pray and we hope and we strive for it to be this, that we are a family of God that is devoted to one another in brotherly love, and that we honor each other above ourselves. Right? And I want to let you know something. Here's a key. If we'll do that, people will beg to come to this church. Hey, I don't know much about what they teach over there, but I want to let you know, those people over there, they're just meeting each other's needs left and right. In fact, I think there's a contest going on. I think the winner gets a Chevy truck, but I'm not real sure. But wouldn't that be the greatest? That around town, the 37th Street was known as, like, listen, I'm not real sure everything, and you could talk to them about what all they believe, but I got to let you know this one thing is this. They love each other like family, and they're meeting each other's needs. Woo! What a reputation. But it starts with you, and it starts with me tonight saying this. I want you to repeat it after me. I will be devoted to you in brotherly love. And I will honor you above myself. Amen. I want to lead us in prayer, but I want to let you know this. Even though Stuart put me under unbelievable pressure to do well, I hope it's been okay. I hope it's been okay. I hope you've been moved. I hope you've been challenged, not by me, but by God's word, right? That's what counts. It's God's word that challenges us. So I want to lead us in prayer, and then we'll have our song. And I want to ask God to bless us in this journey of being devoted to one another and honoring one another above ourselves. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. I want to thank you so much for how deep, how penetrating, how piercing it is into my life. And Father, I want to thank you for your word as it's taught us tonight about what it means to be devoted to each other in brotherly love. And Father, I got to let you know, and I confess to you tonight, I've not always grabbed that. I've not always held that. I've not always done that. And I ask you to forgive me for that. And Father, there's been so many times in my life where I wanted to grab the attention and I wanted to be the center and I didn't want to meet other people's need. And I ask you to forgive me for that. And I ask tonight that you will help this body of Christ here to be a people that are truly devoted to each other in brotherly love. And that, Father, they are outdoing each other in honoring one them, honoring others above themselves. I ask you to bless this church in these areas, and it's through Jesus that I pray. Amen.